Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Forge D20's newest series, Thrones. This is what I assume probably our fourth or fifth episode in the series. I'm not in charge of the editing on that, but I'm going to assume fourth or fifth episode in the series. We're here, and we're trying to get this stuff done for you guys, because we're excited to continue this series and to tell you guys a story. We hope that you all are just as excited as us. That being said, just want to go ahead and reintroduce ourselves here. Forgot I didn't do that. I'm Hunter Gross, your DM for this campaign, accompanied by my best friend, Zach. We are very excited to continue this series and pick up where we last left off with Daedalus and Alistair making camp on the far side of Umbridge Hill across from Phandalin. Now, before we begin, I wanted to give Zach an opportunity to do some housekeeping, any announcements he wanted to do before we continue on with our journey.
Yeah, first things first, I wanted to go ahead and thank some of our sponsors for this episode. Would love to give a thanks to Dominic at CarStars. If you want to get cars, go to your dudes at CarStars. Fuck those car sales warlocks. Don't make those dark deals. Please go to my dude, Dom. He is a financial wizard. He'll hook you up. Also want to give a shout out to Nerds with Money. On Sunday, they run a D&D day. You might catch me there soon. Who knows, you might catch Hunter there soon. But certainly please go check them out. And one last sponsor I'd like to shout out is The Last Waltz Media. Anything dirt track racing? Are you a goblin for that shit? Please go check that shit out. That's all I got.
Alright, so I just wanted to follow it up and say thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. You guys showing us appreciation and support goes a long way in keeping us doing this and keeping our passion flowing. So for me to you guys, I wanted to say thank you for all you guys do for us. And I also wanted to give a shout out to, we still have Melanie Draws as a patron, I assume.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Melanie.
I wanted to give a shout out to Melanie and thank her as well for her continued patronage. We really appreciate it and we definitely love you.
Oh, one more shout out actually. I want to thank Draco Meister, who has been doing a fantastic fucking job on the art for this campaign.
Oh, yes.
And I cannot wait to see the new picture of Daedalus he's going to be making.
Yes.
Little hint for the things to come. So make sure you follow us on our social media where you can see all that shit drop.
Yes, thank you to Draco Meister. Cannot say enough how much we appreciate your work, the time and the effort you've put into the art you've given us so far for the campaign. We cannot wait to get more from you, one, and we cannot wait to see what you come up with and what you create. We really appreciate all you do. And if there's anything we can do as a stream to show you support, I think this is the least we can do in saying for people to go and check out his work. With that, I'm going to begin. We're going to start from where we left off. The two titular characters of our campaign, Daedalus, Alistair, they ended last session after defeating some bandits on the highway to, well, on the King's Road, not highway, but on the King's Road to Phandalin. They were ambushed by some bandits who had set up a clever trap trying to deceive people into believing that their carriage had been stricken on the side of the road and the axle had fallen off, that they need help. Alistair, being a good-hearted person, trusted them. He went out to see what was going on, and of course, the trap was sprung. Thanks to some quick thinking by Alistair, though, he managed to buy himself enough time for Daedalus to also join in on the combat, and the two of them quickly dispatched the foes. They did take some licks, some injuries, so they decided to, instead of pushing on through to Phandalin, they decided to make camp there for the night on the far side of Umbridge Hill. In the morning when they woke up, they would have maybe an hour's travel to get to the town of Phandalin on the other side of that large hill. As the two of them laid their heads down on the previous night, so, Alistair, as you awaken to the sounds of metal on metal grating, grinding, banging, sounds like someone's armoring up or suiting things up, getting their things together. You hear this noise and it snaps you out of this trance that you're in. As a half-elf, you have the unique ability to, you don't necessarily have to sleep, you can enter this sort of transient state where you're meditating. You're still in a sort of resting position, but you're more aware and you have more controls over your facilities in this state. This constant grating sound takes you out of this trance.
He slowly gets up and sits up, kind of trying to fully come back to consciousness. He's got this clear brain fog. feels like he hasn't gotten enough meditation, enough rest, as a half-elf would, and tired of wallowing in the dark, decides to peek his head outside of the tent to see what the clank of this noise is coming from.
Alistair, as you part the sort of curtained veil of this tent and poke your head out, you see just on the other side of a tree nearby, parts, pieces of Daedalus's arms. It looks like that he's gathering his gear and arming himself, gearing up for the day. And as you just take a moment to observe and see how the heck he's even armoring up, considering all the damage you did not too long ago to his armor, you take notice that, as before back at the manor, you noticed underneath Daedalus's neck and the soft tissue, the soft scales that would lie in the underbelly and softer tissues of dragonborns and their like. Daedalus is a striking pale gold on the harder scales of his body, where it's most often that you would see his color, his scales exposed. But as you look and see portions of his neck, his chest, torso area, and underarm, armpit area, you would see this blackened, almost charred look to the scales. It looks like, as you see, Daedalus has been burned. For a golden dragonborn, you know that that shouldn't be an easy task. They are naturally fire resistant. You see these burn marks and scarring on the scales where large chunks of scales were either removed purposefully or removed as a side effect of some other whipping or beating he would be taking or battle he was in. But as you snap yourself from noticing this,
I'm gonna kind of just climb out of the tent. Well, you're up early, I see.
Daedalus looks up from himself, just kind of strapping parts of his haphazardly put together partial plate armor that he's just holding together with belts and fasteners. He looks over at you.
Yes. I found it most pertinent that we don't waste any more time. Every minute that we waste here resting is a minute that we aren't making our way to Waterdeep to go meet with the Lord's Alliance and prove that you are alive. So yes, I am up early, and I think it was a wise choice. It is good that I have woken you clearly. You were in a deep trance, I would say.
It's accurate. I don't sleep, really, because of my lineage.
You could have fooled me. It looked like you were trying to sleep last night.
Well, my eyes are a muscle. Of course, they need to relax.
Well, what about rocking and shaking in your sleep?
Wait, I do that in my sleep?
What about... Well, you were throttling every once in a while. It woke me at one point. I could hear you in the other tent. I could hear the movement, and I could hear you. Every once in a while, it sounded like you were calling out to someone or speaking to someone. I couldn't understand what you were saying. Some of it was muffled. But it was desperate, your cries.
I didn't know I did that. Usually someone would know if they do something like that, like their family would have told them. He kind of scratches the back of his neck. He seems a little worried in a way.
Daedalus kind of looks at you. You see him kind of shrug his shoulders and his hands a little bit.
I wouldn't put too much thought behind it, Alistair. It has been a chaotic 72 hours. The first time you've left the manor, and who knows how long. Perhaps it's your mind and anxieties playing tricks on you.
Maybe you're
right. Stress.
You're right. Alright, let me, I guess, gather my stuff and we'll head out expeditiously. And starts rummaging through his things, his belongings, and grabbing them.
As you gather your things, Alistair, Daedalus packs up his tent, puts his bag together. You do the same. Takes you maybe 20, 30 minutes to do. Very quick in how you get things together and get out of here. As the two of you pick up your camp, put on your rucksacks, begin journeying towards Umbridge Hill, you do feel a general sense of unease. You can't get the thought out of your head as you're walking along the King's Road up towards Umbridge Hill. You can't get the thought out of your head of what happened. What was Daedalus talking about? Throttling and speaking to someone in my sleep. you think maybe it was a nightmare. Maybe you were just stressed. Maybe Daedalus is right. But there's a creeping suspicion in the back of your mind. And that creeping suspicion, you can feel it. The absence of something in the front of your face, where your eye once was, you know what may also be the cause of what you were experiencing. But this sense of unease does not go away. As you journey further and further towards Umbridge Hill, Daedalus and you haven't spoken much as you travel along this road. You two have kept quiet most of the way. Every once in a while, you'll make a comment about maybe a pothole in the road ahead or something you see. The two of you keep things quiet. It's a very somber mood. Time goes by. You do reach the almost apex of this hill. And as you reach towards the top of this large hill that you've been probably walking up the ascent of for probably close to 10 minutes, let me describe to you what we see in the very short distance from Umbridge Hill to Findowin. Nestled in the rocky foothills of the snow-capped Sword Mountains is the mining town of Findowin. It consists of 40 or 50 simple log buildings. Crumbling stones surround ruins of older houses. New houses built around these ruins. Shops showing how this must have been a much larger town in centuries past. Findowin's residents are quiet, hardworking folk who come from distant cities to eke out a life amidst the harsh wilderness. They are farmers, stonecutters, blacksmiths, traders, prospectors, and of course, their children. The town has no walls, no garrison, but you can see most of the adults do keep weapons within easy reach in case the needs for arms arise. Visitors are welcome here, particularly if they have coin to spend or news to share. The Stonehill Inn at the center of the town offers modest lodging, and meals. A couple of doors down from the inn posted outside the town maester's hall is a job board for adventurers. We also see, not too far away, maybe probably about 100 yards from us now, a large windmill. What can only be described as mostly stone with a little bit of wood in its construction. You can see this windmill operates on a normal sort of axle and pulley system. And you can clearly see that this windmill has three large blades that are kind of, they have a bit of a curve to the end of them. So it's almost like one of those little, you ever seen a garden where people have like little flower spinners kind of thing? It almost looks like that. As you observe this quite large windmill, you can see the sort of what looks to be pale blue with silver trim accented banners hanging from the balcony that's around the second level that is built inside this windmill, the interior. Somebody must live there, you can clearly tell. As we approach, Daedalus doesn't see it, but you see it. As we step out of the King's Road proper and kind of step to the side to kind of observe the windmill and look at the town, Daedalus is kind of pointing out the banners on the windmill, what you just saw before, and he's kind of observing it, kind of taking in. And as you glance at the banners and then you glance back at Daedalus, just over Daedalus's shoulder, you see what looks to be a huge flying rock hurtling towards you right now.
Oh, I'm,
you need
he's
to
pushing,
act fast.
Pushing Daedalus out of the way and trying to go with him so that they can move the fuck out of the way. Alistair, upon realizing there's a flying boulder coming their way, doesn't even say anything. Daedalus can see the look of fear settle into Alistair's one exposed eye and seeing the brow of his eye patch covered eye furrow up as he's immediately wrapping his hands around Daedalus's waist and pulling him out of the way from a perpendicular angle to try to avoid them both from getting hit by this giant boulder that's coming their way.
As you grab Daedalus and the two of you go throttling towards the ground, you immediately see Daedalus kind of, as you're grabbing him, Daedalus sees that there's terror on your face, and he kind of turns and sees it at the last second as you're grabbing and pulling him to the ground. He lets out sort of a grunt as just maybe 5-6 feet above your head, this boulder goes flying by, crashes into the side of the windmill, taking out a large portion of this sort of like bottom right to our perspective of the tower. and you see the windmill kind of shakes for a second, the blades itself stop turning, and you hear many shrieks and shouts in the distance from the town of Findown, and you hear a distinctly loud shriek coming from the windmill itself of whoever's inside. It sounds like a woman. Daedalus and you begin to get to your feet quickly, trying to survey the surroundings. You see maybe 75 feet down the hill from us. He is rapidly running up the hill, if it can even be called a he. You see what can only be described as a large, probably about 15, 16 feet tall, hunched over, stone-covered creature. You see it's got fleshy bits, but you see these large, sort of crystalline gems, rare precious ores, jumping out of this hunch of this large creature. Purple, green, and blue, these gems like sapphires, amethysts, and emeralds, poking out like large sort of stalagmites out of the back of this large, incredulous humanoid. You see this humanoid has one arm that's sort of a little bit larger than the other, sort of inflated almost, and you can see that it's got more stone to it, and the other one's a little bit more fleshy. And you see these sort of gnarled, messed up, cracked, stony-looking teeth as this thing is rapidly running up the hill, and it's just grabbing whatever's near it to just chuck another item at us with a sort of stone-covered arm. But as it's running towards us, Daedalus turns and looks at you, and he kind of sighs. You see him roll his eyes. A troll? Really? We just got here. And then immediately, again, another boulder comes flying at you guys. As another boulder comes flying by, this one not quite as large as the previous one. This one just happens to be whatever's nearest to the stone trolls. It's running up the hill, picks up the stone, and throws it like a shot put, gives itself a little bit of a spin as it throws, and it crashes past Dale's knee, sailing above you much higher than the other one. This time, this boulder, though, completely clips off one of the wind blades of the windmill, shaking the entire portion of the structure. You see this thing's actually beginning to lean a little bit towards the side where the previous bottom portion of the structure was hit by the other boulder. You hear a woman shriek again, this time even louder. More shouts in the distance. The screaming is coming from inside the windmill, the second level of the windmill. As well, you see more shrieking in the distance and things like that. That's clearly coming from Vendown. You can see kind of movement in the distance as people are running around, gathering weapons and other people. Some are getting cover. Some are kind of coming in a small group to come help you, but they're quite a distance away.
So, in this moment, Alistair is going to start running towards the windmill about 30 feet. Alistair, upon seeing this happen and hearing someone is in need of help, he wants to do the right thing. He's going to fire an Eldritch Blast at the troll and try to move closer towards the windmill at the same time. As this ice black mist begins to shoot out of his hand, it dissipates and completely misses the stone troll.
As you shoot off this Stygian Eldritch Blast at the troll, you can see the mist misses, shooting just over the shoulder of the troll. It shoots right over, and the troll still booking it. Now you can start to see some color to his eyes. You realize that his eyes have this sort of like sickly yellow to them, and they are really bloodshot, and they are almost bulging out of his head. He is insane with whatever emotion has overcome him. He is on a warpath. That being said, the troll's going to continue moving up the hill. It's going to use its turn to continue moving, but he's going to, in addition to his movement, instead of throwing another item, he's going to continue to dash up the hill towards us. And as he's moving, quickly gaining momentum up the hill, he's deceptively fast for such a large stone-like creature. You see the gems on its large shoulder as it takes its stone arm and grabs the nearest tree to it as it's running up. This tree's not too large. So this tree's probably more like a medium-sized, you know, garden decorative piece meant to be here, you know, to provide Umbridge Hill with a bit of lust and color to it. As he reaches out, rakes this thing clean out of the ground, and now he's just running up the hill with this tree at his side. He looks like he's going to use that thing as a club, maybe as a javelin, who knows. That being said, we move to Daedalus. Daedalus sees you shoot off this Eldritch Blast. He sees you then move towards the mill, and he sees the troll rapidly booking it up towards them. Daedalus looks towards Alistair. Look towards the troll.
Well, I guess you go save whoever's screaming and crying, and I guess I'll have to distract the troll.
Daedalus with what can only be described as almost a sort of melancholy and accepting of this, of being a punching bag, maybe a lamb to slaughter to this troll. Daedalus strides forward with his sickle and no shield. So he's running it right towards the troll. He's not in a hurry, he's not dashing, but he is moving towards the troll with his full movement. Daedalus is going to pick up from his, he has his rucksack near him. He lowers it for a moment, reaches in, and you can see him pull out another throwing dagger. And you see he takes it, and he just chucks that thing at the stone troll. Now, this thing is well outside of the effectiveness range of this dagger, but Daedalus doesn't have many other options. As you see, Daedalus reaches into his rucksack, pulls out this dagger, and he gives it one hell of a toss. I mean, it goes all the way. It gets all the way to the troll, makes contact with the sort of center mass of the troll's being, and it just completely just snaps apart. Not only from the momentum of the troll's approach, but the stone-like skin that it has. It could not have had any hope in penetrating it. Daedalus stands back up, brandishes his sickle, and awaits the coming of this stone Goliath. Alistair, as you are still approaching the windmill, you begin to look up for the source of the screaming. You see up on the balcony a woman, and I will describe her to you for a moment. She's wearing in the same color of those pale blue banners. She's wearing a pale blue, it's sort of a gown or robe, and it has very fine fabric, satin, silk. You can see a bit of golden metallics and jewelries that she's wearing on her necklace, and you can see a little bit of jewelry on her earrings. As she's looking down at you as you rapidly approach, she waves her hand at you. Quickly, traveler, get inside! Get inside!
So what Alistair is going to do is he's going to keep running towards, because the way this windmill is set up, it looks like it's doomed to collapse upon itself. And he feels obligated to help her, so he's going to cast at first level Armor of Agathys, using his just in case this thing decides to yeet something at him and it hits him. It'll deal a little bit of damage back.
So you continue moving towards the inside of the windmill?
Yes.
Alright. Because this is high-paced combat, and obviously you'd be sprinting, I'm going to go ahead and say I'll give you a dash on that as well. At this point, you've entered the bottom floor of this windmill. The room door, there is none. It's just kind of like this open concept at the front door. You step in and you can see the lower workings of the actual windmill. You can see the cogs, the gears, the pulleys, and the axles turning and bending. Well, not turning and bending anymore, as the windmill is now defunct thanks to this attack. And you can see the portion of the bottom corner of this windmill that's completely been leveled by the boulder that's still sitting in the bottom of the windmill. Large craters impacted that bottom floor. You can see and look up around that impact of that crater, and you can see portions of the stone masonry are still cracking and crumbling. And you realize that woman, she's on the second floor. She needs to get the hell down from there. And you start booking it up the stairs to go into the second floor. The troll, now closing the distance on Daedalus, he's going to take that tree that he has, and with one hand, he takes it and breaks the branches off to make it one large piece, one long, large, sort of like spear-like weaponry. As he's running towards Daedalus, he is going to take a mighty throw of that tree, and he's throwing it right at Daedalus. As the troll rears back this sort of now makeshift ranged weapon, he throws the tree log at Daedalus. It looks like he might have intended to throw it like a spear, but it just starts tumbling end over end as it's getting some momentum throwing towards Daedalus. Daedalus tries to get out of the way, but this thing is thrown with some velocity and some oomph behind it. And as it comes crumbling down, Daedalus tries to move out of the way. He's moving backwards away from the strike, though, as the now tumbling end of the tree log comes crashing down on Daedalus and hitting him. He goes flying back from the impact, maybe 20 feet, 25 feet, tumbling on the ground, rolling. He takes a massive 9 points of damage, and he's already not feeling great. Less than half HP at this point. You don't see this, But you do hear a shriek coming from upstairs. You hear the woman shrieking much louder. As you now pound into the room, you see the woman. You see her looking over the balcony, and you can see this is clearly where her bedroom is. You see a bed. You see what looks to be a makeshift bookshelf that she's made up and sort of carpentried into this walls herself. You see her standing over the balcony, pointing down towards Daedalus. Somebody help us. And she's sort of like waving off in the distance with her other hand towards the people that are gathering in the distance. And you look down, and as you look down, you see Daedalus get whacked by this log and go tumbling 20, 25 feet away from where he was hit in the initial impact. He's got knocked towards the windmill, but he's reeling, and you see him start to get up very slowly, and he's limping. And you see him sort of cough up a little bit of excess fluid, a little bit of blood potentially. You see him... As he starts to raise himself up to his feet, Daedalus gets up and shakes his head again. He looks up, and the troll's still booking it towards him.
Alistair, kind of looking back at his new companion getting mollywopped by this troll, he's going to look up at the woman upstairs. Get to safety in the city! We'll take care of the troll! Just get out of here! Get out of there! That windmill is bound to collapse at any moment! And Alistair immediately is going to turn and start running back towards the troll, and he's going to fire an Eldritch Blast.
You hit the troll, and you hit his sort of shouldered, stoned arm as he's like rushing towards you guys. You can clearly tell he's using that thing as sort of a shield, leading with it in his run. And the Stygian Eldritch Blast hits the stone interior, and you see a bit of the normal stone-like skin clips off, but where you hit it was more of those like gemmed, fine mineral stones area where the sapphires and the amethyst and the emeralds are sort of jutting out of its skin, and it does nothing. That thing is booking it still. As you step out the front door and let loose this shot, you see the troll is still bounding towards you, and maybe about 15 feet, 20 feet in front of you is Daedalus now. Like, at this point, he's stood up to his feet. He sees the Eldritch Blast go shooting off and hit into the troll with no effect. He turns and looks back at you and looks back at the troll. At this point now, it's closed in on you guys. It's in melee range with the rest of its movement. I'm just going to move you on screen to a little bit outside the door. Daedalus about 20 feet in front of you right there. And we'll say that right next to him where those piles of stones are, that's where like the knocked up log is that he got hit with. The troll at this point, though, comes closing in on Daedalus as you see it comes running in. Comes crashing down with both of its fists on Daedalus. You see Daedalus manages to avoid the brunt of the impact from these fists, but he still takes the hit from the impact. As soon as he hits the ground beneath Daedalus is just uprooted and sent flying maybe 5-7 feet in the air. As Daedalus comes crashing back down, he's once again knocked onto his ass, and he's trying to get back up onto his feet. You can see, though, Daedalus is not looking good. You can see, once again, blood is now pouring forth from some wounds that have reopened from all the previous battles you guys have been in. And Daedalus looks really rough. He stands to his feet, and Daedalus charges at the troll. He gets up, he brandishes his sickle with both hands, and you see him just run with hate and zeal towards the creature after it strikes him. You see Daedalus is just throwing caution to the wind. And once again, as he is standing, he takes in a deep breath, and you see his muscles begin to inflate and tighten again as he takes his second wind. He's actually back at almost full health. You see Daedalus goes running in with his sickle, and he takes it and rakes it down the sort of inner thigh area just near the groin of the troll as he runs in and cleaves it into the troll, running in between the legs of the troll out the other side behind him. You see him look at his sickle, and there is no damage to the troll. He looks where he struck, he looks at his sickle, nothing happens. You see a look of desperation on Daedalus, maybe a bit of panic in his eyes. You see his eyes begin to widen, and the troll starts to slowly turn its head towards him. And as it turns its head, you see almost a grin on its face, like it has its prey right where it wants it. But then you see this barrage of ding, 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 a barrage of arrows come flying in. hitting the parts of the troll. You see it take its stone arm and stick it up to sort of shield its face from the barrage of arrows that come flying in. This volley piercing the troll in certain places, most arrows bouncing off or finding no effect. Some do manage to get a bit of a pained growl and sort of yelp from the troll. As you see, probably a crowd of maybe 8 or 9 people rushing in from the far distance, knocking loose arrows as they approach. It looks like the town's militia or guard, whatever they may have, or whatever good people have decided to take up arms and are trying to actively help you guys.
As a bonus action, Alistair is going to say, Deus, as he casts Hexblade's Curse on the stone troll. And now he's going to pull out his rapier that he got from, that was hanging in his family home, and stab the troll in the back.
That is just enough to pierce the stone hide of this troll. As you manage to take the rapier and with a quick flourish after unsheathing it, you manage to find a weak point in between the stones. You see some soft tissue, it looks like, and you shove the rapier into the hide of the troll. You see, once again, it flares one of its arms up, its fleshier arm, and it yelps out in pain. You see the troll, after yelping out in pain, it turns towards you, and you see its eyes are just maddened at this point. The troll turns towards you and takes its the stone arm and rakes it across the ground in a sort of swiping motion from left to right. And as he's swiping, you try to get out of the way. You're not fast enough as he grabs you by both of your ankles and picks you up in the air. You are hanging upside down, your arms towards the ground, one hanging onto your rapier still. You are completely upside down, looking at the troll's face. And the troll now has you in its firm grip, and then he's going to take you, and he's going to slam you on the ground once. Not letting loose its grip, though.
As Alistair slammed into the ground, this black obsidian, kind of ethereal magical armor begins to now appear as it begins to crystallize, and you see these like little black ice spikes going into the troll.
Some of those obsidian shards that shoot out of you, that icy shards, they shoot out of you and they pierce into the fleshy bits of the stone troll's face as you see it yelp out in pain again, and you're once again mid-air in mid-smashing motion. He's using you, if you can, I'll use the illusion of Hulk and Loki in the first Avengers movie. You just got done getting slammed once, and after you get slammed once, those obsidian shards shoot out, hit him in the face, and now he's picking you up to slam you again on the other side. Daedalus is going to, at the sight of this, and he sees you get whacked once. He knows you're okay because he can see this sort of crystalline armor on you, but then he sees it's the entirety of the sort of like silhouette it gives you, that sort of aura, completely shatter out as it once did to him into the troll. The troll reacts, but it only pisses him off more. She starts bringing you up for another slam. Daedalus sees this and springs into action. He knows that any blow from this sort of troll smacking you down like this could be most problematic for the both of you. Daedalus is going to run in, and he's going to, as Alistair Darkheart once did not too long ago, he is going to attempt a double leg takedown or a single leg takedown of this much larger foe as he shoots in to tackle this troll, trying to bring it down to the ground mid-swing of Alistair, trying to get it to catch off balance and save Alistair from being whacked into the ground full force. Daedalus shoots in on the troll. As the troll is rearing back, Alistair, sort of like a makeshift club to smack him in the ground, he gets towards the top of this throw, and as you're being just absolutely, you have almost no senses of where you're at because of the speed of getting throttled around and such, right? So you're kind of like looking up at the sky as you're being throttled from up to going down, and instead of going back down, you're rapidly throttled back the way you came as you're tumbling towards the ground now. Daedalus, from his perspective, shoots in on the troll and manages to grab its more sort of fleshy leg. You've got this one side that's kind of covered in stones. The other side's still got a little bit of a stone skin to it, but not as much. So he crashes into it, and he starts grappling with the troll. The troll tries to fight him off. Daedalus pulls down towards the natural bend in the troll's body, and then twists, sort of like a death roll an alligator would perform on its prey. Once it gets a hold of it, Daedalus grabs and starts rolling. He brings the troll down and Alistair with it. Alistair manages to not be completely slammed by this troll. He instead tumbles out of the grip of this troll, maybe 5-10 feet away from it. So I'm going to move you back just 5-10 feet in a different, like a random direction. So you're out of its reach and you're on the ground prone. And you see Daedalus is now going from this sort of like double legged position, or single leg, sorry, massive creature. So he's got his arms wrapped around the one leg. You see him like rapidly crawling up the side of this now prone troll as he's trying to climb, sort of like climb on this thing from this, you know, sort of prone position to the top of it. He's trying to get towards the face as fast as he can.
Alistair, after tumbling down, deciding in this moment he needs to get up and fight back to protect this person he's made a pact with, a blood pact. And he's going to grip his blade tightly, start to get up, and lunge towards the troll. And he's going to try to stick the blade in the back of its skull.
You take the rapier, you brandish it, you stick it quickly into the back of the troll's head. And as you stick it into the back of the troll's head, you hear a thump. The rapier bounces off. And you realize, oh, that thing's got a hard fucking head. Daedalus is rapidly crawling up its leg, so now it's probably, Daedalus is like on his stomach area. Daedalus is about 6'6". This troll is about 16 feet tall, so Daedalus is making his way up there quick. Doesn't even really feel that you even hit it in the heat of the battle. It's going to take both of its hands, and it's going to try to just smack at Daedalus with its claws, trying to knock him away off of him. As you see the troll takes its claws, right arm comes crashing down towards Daedalus. He, instead of hitting Daedalus, just misses as Daedalus manages to flatten himself out as the claws go swiping over its head. With the other hand, it comes smacking down towards his stomach, trying to splatter him like a bug. Daedalus manages to just crawl a little bit faster and propel himself further towards the chest of the troll, just managing to avoid that strike. The troll is also now going to take the rest of its turn to try to stand up, getting himself up off the ground. You see him kind of, not necessarily a panic, but he's quick to get up. He's trying to get away from Daedalus almost in a way, and get away from you, because you've got him surrounded at this point. He stands up, Daedalus still crawling up the troll, and the troll immediately kind of starts to, you see both its hands, it starts to clap them back, and you see whatever it's going to do next, it's going to take both its hands and smack into wherever Daedalus is to sort of just palm on palm, crush him between his hands. And Daedalus is going to continue climbing up this thing. He's grabbing onto whatever rocky surface he can. He's now moved from the right thigh up to the midriff, up to the chest, and now he's at sort of the collarbone area of this troll. And now he gets to the top, and Daedalus is going to take his sickle, and he's going to just immediately come crashing down overhand from a sort of like arching over the head strike slash into the face of the troll. The sickle pierces in to part of the stone troll's face and comes raking down. You see it rakes down right over its left eye, and the left eye just sort of explodes from the pressure that's being collapsed upon it, and it explodes in this pus of nasty miasma from within. The troll reels in pain, falling to a knee. It's still up, but severely bloodied. Alistair, you see Daedalus is now sort of, he's got his one leg on one shoulder, one leg on the other. He's got his sickle crashed down both hands. The sickle is now sort of pierced, stuck into that left eye, and he's sort of pulling back on it, pulling the troll like he's almost like a cowboy at a rodeo, hanging on as this troll's throttling around from the pain of Daedalus piercing its head. You take your rapier, and as the creature is reeling from the previous strike, you see Daedalus now plants his feet on either side of the shoulder, pulls the sickle back, and you see the troll's head sort of rear back towards the sky as it sort of can't control itself. It's almost like falling backwards because Daedalus is just yanking with all of its might, pulling the head back. You seize this moment of opportunity, circle around the other side of the troll from where you once were. You take your rapier, you brandish it one more time, and you see that sort of soft tissue area that you hit on the other side, and you see an opportunity. With all your strength, you come running in and slide the rapier clean through that soft tissue, that small gap in that plate of stone that it has for skin, and it sinks in, and as soon as you sink the rapier up to the very hilt, you feel a very distinct thunk on the other side. You just hit something. You see the troll, one big sort of, I would say, convulsion of its whole body, just... And its whole body rears up, its arms rear back, its eyes widen, or one eye, because the other one's a complete busted mess with a sickle through it. Its eyes widen, it lets out a gasp, and the troll falls forward, face first. And as it falls, Daedalus, using the momentum, tumbles forward, sort of just rolling with it. He looks back at you, he's at sort of a kneeling prone, not almost prone, but like kneeling position. He looks back at you, and you're standing there with the rapier in your hand, and the troll's dead. You look at Daedalus, and Daedalus looks at you. We lived. By the gods, we lived.
Fucking nine. And Alistair just, like, sits down on the ground, sweating. They're covered in, you know, pits of, parts of stone. Just rubble on his face, that the stone that came off the stone troll. I thought those bandits were bad. This was worse. And something tells me it's not gonna get any easier.
Unless, not too far away from maybe about 10-15 feet, you see him struggling to get to his feet. He gets up to one knee. He takes a moment, he uses his sickle to kind of push himself off the ground to get to both feet. He stands, and he looks at the looks back at the troll's body. Approaches it and sort of begins to inspect it. How the hell did you kill the thing?
Don't know. I stabbed it in its rib cage and I felt something. I don't know what the feeling was, but it started squirming and then died. Maybe I hit a vital organ or something. I'm not sure about the anatomy of a stone troll, but I guess it did the trick.
Whatever it was good aim.
Thanks,
slaying a troll is no easy feat.
I couldn't have done it without you, my friend.
Yes, I made an excellent meat shield.
Sorry, instincts kicked in. I heard that lady screaming. She needed help. Obviously, this thing is not going to stand for much longer.
No, you made the right decision. And then you see Daedalus' eyes open. Speaking of the woman, where's the woman?
Daedalus looks around, and you can see, as he looks around, he sees in the distance, he points just over your shoulder. You turn, looking where he's pointing, you see the woman approaching with a group of men, some women, and they're all clad in different styles of attire. You see some people wearing patchwork armor, some that's like haphazardly leather on top of, like leather pauldrons on top of some sort of padded cloth. You see others that are just in normal, I guess, everyday wear. They're in simple garbs, gowns, and you see some people literally came from the fields with pitchforks and shovels to come and help you. You see others actually have longbows and shortbows, and those are the ones who sort of distracted the troll long enough for you and Daedalus to sort of seize the opportunity and jump on this thing. As this group of people approach, you see one person, and it's a mixture of people. You see some dwarves, a handful of them. You see mostly humans, some half-elves amongst those humans look very similar. And you see one or two gnomes amongst them. But you see a middle-aged human male, maybe late middle-aged. He's got that salt and peppery beard. It's very thick, curly, and full. He's wearing a bit of a red sort of circular cap with no brim. You can see him approach, and he's wearing this sort of like, I would say, fine clothing for a town like Findalen. He definitely is wearing more upscale clothes than the normal people in a mining or a lumber town would. This man approaches these people around him. They begin to circle the troll, and they circle us. They circle you and Daedalus, and the man steps forward with the woman that had escaped from the windmill. She did make it out alive, and she's brought these people back to see you. He steps forward.
Incredible. Truly incredible. You slayed the troll. Where are my manners? I am Maester West, Arbor West, of the town of Phandalin. These are my people, some of them. With great respect, who are you two?
Alistair looks to Daedalus first to see if he's going to introduce himself, but he can gander that Daedalus isn't the type for small talk like this. Alistair approaches to, as he was instructed to as a child when you meet someone, shake their hand, look them in the eye. So Alistair extends his hand to him and making very stern eye contact with him. I am Alistair Darkheart. Pleasure.
The man returns your firm grasp of the hands and he looks you in the eyes.
It is good to meet you, Alistair Darkheart. Darkheart.
That name. You wouldn't be, and he looks at you kind of inquisitively. Are you related to the former Lord of the Vale?
Yes, I am his son.
His eyes widen, he gasps.
You are Alistair Darkheart?
Alistair nods.
The Storm Coast thought your family dead. Yet here you are.
They are, and unfortunately, I'm the only one who made it out alive. Kind of looks down, looking a little solemn, now remembering the true purpose of why he had to leave. He wants vengeance. There's a look of hate and regret just plastered all over his face.
At the sight of this sort of awkward moment, the pain on Alistair, Daedalus sees this and kind of wants to distract the people from this. He doesn't want the people making a scene, and he doesn't want the people crowding Alistair at the sight of the Lord of the Vale, or former Lord of the Vale, whatever Alistair wants to be known as right now. Daedalus steps forward, clasping a hand onto Alistair's shoulder, and another hand on one of his many, many bruises and wounds that he has. Daedalus steps over,
and I am Daedalus. It is a pleasure to meet you as well.
Daedalus offers his hand out as the maester takes his eyes from Alistair, and it was almost like a fixation upon him. He turns and he says,
oh yes, greetings, and he shakes his hand. Thank you both so much. Please, come with me. Let the rest of the men and the women tend to the windmill and Lady Adabra. The three of us, come with me. We will go to my council chambers.
As he motions for the two of us to follow along, you look back and you see the woman that you saved before. She is, as you are now closer, you can see she has this nice tanned bronze skin, and she has this sort of wavy black hair. As we're walking off in the distance, you can see her look, and you two fix eyes on one another, and she waves, but as she waves, you can hear a voice in the back of your head.
When you're finished with the maester, come find me.
And she grins in the distance. You can see a smile on her face, almost confirming your suspicions that she's the source of this voice.
Alistair gives a nod of acknowledgement and walks forward with Daedalus and the Meister.
Make your way to the town maester's hall, to his council chamber. This hall has sturdy stone walls, a pitched wooden roof, and a bell tower at the back. You can see the job board next to the front door features a sparse number of notices, all written in common and in the same hand, the maester's hand. See, he takes the key to the lock on the front door, cracks it open, and motions for the two of us to enter the chambers. Daedalus accepts the offer and steps right on in. Does Alistair follow?
He does.
Alistair, you step into the council chambers, and you can see in this town hall sort of setup, you can see what looks to be a sort of small, I don't want to say auditorium, but it's a makeshift one. You can see rows of benches to the left and the right side of this sort of central table, where there's a position of about 5 chairs in a circular table. You could tell this is where maybe town meetings are held, votes are taken, etc. He motions for the two of us to take a seat, and he says as well,
please, please, gentlemen, take a seat. You need to rest. I will get us drinks.
He takes a small step to the side, and you see him pouring some water for the two of us. As Daedalus looks at you, almost waiting for the signal, like, are we going to really sit down right now? Like, he kind of looks at you for a moment.
Alistair
body language kind of thing.
And kind of telling him to sit down. It's a respect thing.
The two of you sit down. The maester returns, placing a cup filled with water. He looks at you both as he seats himself as well across the table.
Well,
My lord Darkheart, Daedalus.
He puts his hand up immediately. Please, do not call me lord. I am no lord.
I mean no offense.
No offense. I just...
Sir.
I'm too young to take up this mantle. I don't think I'm responsible enough. I think I have some other priorities. Other than being Lord of the Vale, I am not ready.
May I call you sir, or Mr. Darkheart in return, then?
Just call me Alistair.
You see kind of like a look of, like, pained, like, I guess, on his face. Like, it almost feels like it's not courtly to do so, but he agrees. And he says, well, Alistair, Daedalus, as you can tell, this town is facing all sorts of problems. And you can see him kind of rub his forehead with his one hand. A dragon has come to the Storm Coast, taken over the fort at Ispire Peak, and that has caused a myriad of problems to come to us. The natural ecosystem in the area has been completely ravaged, as you can tell by our visitor not too long ago that the two of you disposed of. A stone troll like that doesn't come down from the mountains of Ispire Peak without reason. It seems something drove him out of the mountains, down here. He wouldn't be the first kind of creature to come down from their natural habitat, seeking a new home. This dragon, it's causing all sorts of problems for us, for my people. Not only that, trade has been at a standstill. No one's willing to bring anything in or out of Fendalen at the risk of a dragon coming in and killing everyone involved in the shipment party. In addition, the winter has been difficult on the crops. We need trade. We need protection. This town has no militia. It has a group of fine people willing to take up arms in defense of it, but we have no leadership, no real defense, not even walls. How are we supposed to fight back against a dragon? I'm not asking for you to join a militia or help us in any way other than, could you, while you're here in town, and I will pay handsomely, could the two of you just run a few errands, do a few favors? It would help greatly for the town. You would just be delivering letters, maybe taking an item from point A to point B, nothing dangerous. What do you say?
Me and my colleague will have to discuss about this. Do you mind if we huddle up? And Alistair kind of like places his arm around him and starts whispering in his ear. What do you think?
Daedalus kind of looks at him for a second. He looks over at the maester and then looks at Alistair and looks at the maester again. Well, and he kind of like sort of whispers to Alistair, but he's not really hiding it. Like, he doesn't care if the maester hears him.
As long as he's paying. And maybe if I can get some new armor out of it, considering I don't have any anymore.
And he looks at Alistair like right in the eyes as he says that.
He nods.
The maester hears this and he chimes in. Oh, yes, that could be arranged. Daedalus puts up one finger, like they're not done talking, like silence. We're not done talking. Continue, Alistair.
I do think that we could use some equipment. If you could provide some of this to us, we would be happy to be of service. I mean, I've just left home for the first time in 4 years, and I have bare bones equipment, as you can see, so we would both appreciate it if we could stock up on some things, and we will gladly do this for you.
He looks at Alistair for a second. And then he looks up at the maester before he speaks again.
We will not be here long. We are resupplying and making our way to Waterdeep, so whatever favors you are asking of us, please make the affairs as short as possible. We want to be on our way. We do wish to help, but we have business of our own to attend to, of course.
The maester nods, and he, of course,
merely need you to go and do a few things. I need you to go not too far from here. There's a place nestled in on the other side, the northeast from here, on the other side of the Umbral Hill, or Umbridge Hills, excuse me, the northeast of here. There's a place, a village nestled in a burrow known as Nomengard. I need you to go there, and I need you to potentially seek out what these gnomes may know about the dragon, what if they know of the dragon's coming, and if they'd be willing to maybe work together in defending our mutual danger
in this scenario. As well as I could use the two of you to maybe go to an excavation site not far from here. I have two colleagues from the Adventurers Guild that are exploring ruins not far from here. They have been out there for over a fortnight now. They have no idea of the dragon's arrival in the last week. They may be in danger. They may have already experienced danger, and I need to see if they are okay. They haven't returned. If you could go to Nomengard, speak with whoever's in charge there, try to negotiate or try to get into contact with them so that we can open a line of communication, I will pay you handsomely. And as well as if you can go to the Dwarven excavation site and help my friends get them word, I will once again pay you handsomely. You'll be paid for each thing you do, and before you leave to go do these things, feel free to head into town. Tell them the Maester sent you, and he slides over a small, like, signet ring, and he slides it towards you, Alistair. It's like a small ruby gem in the middle with, like, a small symbol of, like, a gavel in it. Tell them the Maester sent you, and that this one is on us. Feel free to use this to resupply and to get new armor before the two of you head out. You could also use it to get a night's stay at the Stonehill Inn until the two of you decide to depart. Anything else, he says.
Alistair shakes his head and then turns to Daedalus for confirmation.
Daedalus looks at Alistair, looks at the town maester. He kind of thinks for a second. You could see the gears turning in his head, and Daedalus just kind of nods. No questions. The maester stands up. Well, we have an accord then. Please, take your time. I'm going to head to my library, my study, and make arrangements for potential trade between us and Nomengard. Whenever you two are ready, feel free to leave, and when you return, I look forward to the good news. May the gods watch over you, my friends. And he sort of takes a small bow towards Alistair specifically with that bow, and he turns off to go to his chambers.
Alistair turns to
you and Daedalus kind of... Oh, you turn towards...
Well, that was a little rude. He didn't acknowledge you. Not very court-like of him.
Daedalus kind of looks off and he goes, I had no idea. Courtly procedures are beyond me.
Typically.
To be honest, that was the closest thing I've ever experienced to courtly procedures.
Alistair chuckles a little bit. Well, typically you would greet, whether it be a bow, a handshake, whatever one's preference is to the other individual. He didn't reciprocate. I will say, I'm not quite a fan of that. I think we need to bring honor back into the nobility of the Sword Coast.
Daedalus looks at him, and you can see this look of like a... almost like, oh, you don't know. Like, he kind of looks at him, he tilts his head back and leers it to the right a little bit. Alistair.
Huh?
I get that from everyone. It doesn't matter if it's nobility or the common folk. Most people do not care for one with my dispositions. And you see him kind of point towards his scarring on his body, and he kind of points towards, you know, how he looks. He just kind of, you know, gives you like the look at me kind of thing. You know, people are a little apprehensive to the 6'6" dragonborn. That obviously is not from around here. People will be much more friendly to you. And then he kind of gestures at you, you know, top to bottom. Regal, proud, true noble. People will reciprocate to you. It is good that you are here. Pay them no mind when they disregard me. It is the way of things. My actions will speak for me. I'll leave the finer details to men made of finer details, if you understand.
Alistair nods. I can deal with that. And if anybody does disrespect you beyond being uncourtly, trust me when I will deal with them, and I'm certain you will too, with a swift hand of justice.
Daedalus kind of nods, and you see him take his hands, place them on either side of his seat, and he begins to stand.
Oh,
well.
By the way, that woman
that we rescued at the windmill, she talked in my head. She said she wanted me to go see her. You mind if I go do that before we go resupply?
Daedalus looks at him.
She spoke to you in your mind.
Magic. She must have cast a message spell or maybe some sort of ascending spell. I'm unsure.
But... oh, she's a wizard like you too.
And you see him like, you know he's referencing something when he says, oh, you're a wizard too.
Elster or she's a wizard too. Excuse his eye me. Just a little bit. But he's not going to pay any mind. He just shrugs and kind of nods.
Very well. Take us to the windmill. Back to the scene of the crime.
Daedalus says as he like kind of throws his arms up in the air. You can tell he doesn't really want to go back. He wants to go get armor and get resupply. But he says, you know what? We must go. Says you leave the town maester's hall and we make our way back to Umber Chill. So we get over there. You can see not quite the whole group of people that were there, but a small portion of people from the town have now moved over to the mill. And you can see what looks to be stone workers, masonry men. Every once in a while you see a carpenter. You see people actively working together in this sort of communal state. They're trying to rebuild the windmill right now, right after it started. They're already starting to try to re-strengthen that structure, that large portion of the building that was ripped apart and torn asunder from the crater. You can see the people are working together using some leverage, some bars to sort of move that boulder from inside the lower part of the windmill. They're trying to kind of pop it out of the crevice that it's sort of created, that crater. As you see outside, standing next to one of the dwarven individuals we discussed before, we see that woman that inhabited the windmill. You see her there in her nice bronze skin and her pale blue garbs. She sees the two of us approaching. She is speaking to ever this short dwarven man. See him with his curly black hair and sort of reddish beard. She speaks with him and kind of motions for him to move just a little bit. And he kind of looks over, sees the two of us approaching on the other side. And you see this look of like, oh, on his face. And he just kind of scuttles along back towards the rest of the others of the project. As the woman stands there, she crosses her, or interlocks her fingers together. And you can see her sleeves kind of droop over to each other. She bows as the two of us approach. It is good to see you again, my saviors.
Alistair bows in return. Quite good to see you again as well, and I'm sorry. In all the commotion, I never caught your name, miss.
My name is Lady Adabra, and she says, it is a pleasure. I hear from the others that you are Alistair Darkhart.
You'd be right.
And your companion here is Daedalus. Daedalus nods. I was most impressed with your performance. That was either brave or incredibly foolish of the both of you to take on that stone troll to save me, but I truly appreciate this of you. Before we talk about anything else, I do want to give you a token of my appreciation and your dedication to saving others. Here, and you see as she takes one of her hands out from her sleeves, she's holding two coins. Two shiny platinum coins. Now, these platinum coins are not currency platinum coins. You look at them for a second, and you take one, Daedalus takes the other, you look at them, and you see a woman's face in this coin. Not typical currency kind of thing. You see a woman's face looking right at you. You see two sort of hollowed eyes looking at you. And this is a very, very symmetrical, beautiful woman's face with wavy hair. You can't really tell the color because it's obviously, you know, pressed in onto the metal. And she said, you hear Lady Adabra as you're examining this coin. That is a token of luck. Lady Admora, the Lady of Luck. Whenever you need her, we'll be watching over the two of you. I pray that they bring you luck in your most needing of times. Now, I want you to add to your inventory, and I'm going to add to mine, a token of luck. Now, this token of luck is for either of us to use at any one point. It has one use only. You can reroll any roll, even if it's been rerolled before. Any roll, and you can reroll it once.
Cool.
It stacks too, so this isn't like other rerolls. So like if you have advantage and you miss on an advantage, but you really need to hit this one, well, guess what? You got triple advantage or double advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
As Daedalus takes his coin, he places it into his sort of navy blue fabric pouch, drops that in there. You have my thanks, Lady Adabra. And he bows his head a little. You're quite welcome, Daedalus. Now, I'm sure Alistair has told you I asked him to bring the two of you here. Daedalus kind of like uneasily looks at Alistair. Yes. How did I speak to him? Well, it's quite simple. And you see she peels back her ears, or not her ears, her hair, to reveal two long pointed ears. I am a high elf. I have some natural abilities that others do not. I can reach out to some people every once in a while and speak with them. I spoke with Alistair. I didn't want to make a scene, but I wanted the two of you to come back. Is there anything you want to say, Alistair, before Daedalus speaks?
Alistair's not going to speak. He's just kind of idly just watching Daedalus interact with someone else. He's quite curious to see why people might treat him differently if it's just based on his looks or whatnot. He's very sheltered, so he's trying to learn right now.
Well, beyond just to give you a reward, I brought you here for a favor of sorts. The two of you look quite capable, and seeing how you can slay a troll, I think the two of you may have interest in something. Daedalus looks at Alistair, looks at her again.
We are already quite busy with favors. The town maester has us going on multiple favors. I don't think we can handle any more favors.
Alistair raises his hand in this moment to Daedalus. Hear the lady out.
And she says, thank you, Alistair. It's not like that. It's something small. I wish to share with you something. I knew the two of you were coming today, that you would be here. You see, some time ago, maybe, about a week ago, shortly before the dragon arrived here, I was given a gift by the Lady of Luck. I was praying at our shrine here in the town. I dropped a coin in the wishing well, and I was granted a premonition. I saw the white dragon. I saw what had become of the fort at Ispire Peak. How once a grand hallway had been turned into some sort of twisted and perverted glacial throne for this dragon. Gold and magical items and tokens of his battles adorned the walls, frozen in place forever. I saw this dragon, and I saw him doing battle. I saw him doing battle with you. I saw the two of you engaged in conflict with it. A golden-scaled dragonborn and a white-haired half-elf missing an eye. And here you are. I did not know it would be this day, but I knew that the two of you were coming, and that the two of you would deal with this dragon. I don't know why I'm compelled to tell you this, but it seems that destiny has guided the two of you here. You are meant to face that dragon. I implore you, strengthen yourselves. Strengthen your bodies, your minds, your resolve. Because although you may have business in Waterdeep, you said, Daedalus, and you see Daedalus kind of nod, I fear that the gods may have business for you somewhere else. Daedalus kind of uneasily turns and looks at Alistair, like, and then he kind of looks at her like a double take, like, this bitch is crazy. Like, you know, he's not buying any of this. You can tell on Daedalus's face, he's like, yeah, right, lady, like, I don't need any of that.
And he's seeing a but completely he opposite just, look on Alistair's face. Alistair's buying into the shit.
He's like, oh yeah, yeah. I love it. She looks, you can tell, she is indifference to how we're reacting. She sees that we're both reacting differently, indifferent to it though. Well, now that you've heard me out, you've taken my gift of gratitude, all I ask is that at some point in your travels here, in your time at Vindalin, do stop at the Shrine of the Lady of Luck. I'm sure that a small pittance to her could go a long way. I wish the two of you the best in your journeys. I'm sure we will see each other again. And of course, may the Lady of Luck be watching over you, as she takes a bow to both of them. You look at Daedalus as she takes the bow at Daedalus, and Daedalus, and you've got like an eyebrow raise, like, oh yeah, you see that? She bowed to you, and Daedalus returns, you see him returning the bow to her. He looks at Alistair, and he's like, he's got that pursed lip look, like, okay, yeah, not too bad. She actually bowed to me, and you see him kind of like adjust his plate mail a little bit, kind of feeling a little bit more recognized. You see him, he looks at you. Well, I guess some people recognize a future knight when they look upon it.
Alistair just smiles and nods, kind of happy that someone is treating his newfound comrade with respect.
Well, I say we head into the town. We go resupply, and then we figure out if we want to go to the excavation or Nomengard first. What do you say?
Yep, let's go to the shop, get our supplies. Maybe we could talk about our next plans over drinks,
Oh, yes, the tavern. He spoke of an inn. We are going to need somewhere to stay. Well, then, yes, it sounds like an excellent plan. We go resupply, and then we go get a nice hot meal and some ale. And you see him sort of like he makes a fist. Gods, I need ale.
And he kind of like just takes his arm and starts pushing Alistair. We're starting to walk. They're starting to walk down towards Vindalin. But for now, that is going to be the end of today's session. I want to take this time to thank everyone who's here listening still. Thank those who listened up to a point and are going to come back later. And I wanted to once again thank Melanie, our patron. We do have a Patreon, y'all. For those of you listening and are interested, we have exclusive content over on the Patreon. We post things first on the Patreon, and we tend to spend a lot of time interacting with those patrons, taking in their considerations into the story and where it's going. And obviously, you get first dibs on all content from us. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon of our show, check out our social medias, check out the links. We would love it if you did so. Zach, is there any final thankings or things you want to say?
Hell nah. It's time for a beer.
Right.
What?
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you, and y'all have a wonderful day.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.